Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one. You shall not.
The 5 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening on a Monday. Lots of stuff going on in the National Football League. We are literally 48 hours away from the start of free agency. These deals won't become official until Wednesday, but Mike, there's a lot of stuff happening around the league.
Yeah, the legal tampering has begun, and we'll talk about the Antonio Brown saga over the weekend, but the breaking story right now, the NFL is $50.125 million in guaranteed money for Nick Foles to become a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Yeah, they're going to release Bortles, once the league year becomes official, and so he'll be able to sign wherever he wants to go. Listen, they needed a quarterback. I don't think this is any secret that Foles ends up there. I've said this. If I was the Eagles, I would have tried to find a way to keep him, but they're going to let him walk. And, you know, Carson Wentz becomes the guy now. There is no backup there that has led you to a Super Bowl and you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And some people would say, Mike, Nick Foles didn't lose him the game. He had him in position maybe to go down the field and beat the Saints, which they didn't do.
Now, I guess it's hard to kind of figure out what is he. Is he a streaky quarterback? Is he streaky good the way, like, Flacco was when it mattered most that year? Because at the end of the day, his legacy is secure, and you knew he was going to get paid somewhere because the good quarterbacks are hard to find. But is he a glorified Case Keenum? Is he Joe Flacco? What is he going to be? It's just tough because Jacksonville had the pieces. 2 years ago in New England, they had New England on the ropes, and then, of course, they blew it. They got too conservative. But there's a team that has enough pieces and enough defensive pieces. We're just giving competent quarterback play and hope that your running back can keep his head on straight. Because we remember how much we thought Fournette was going to be a stud, and he's kind of been a little wackadoodle down in Jacksonville.
Mike Garofalo says he gets 4 years, $88 million. Mike said 50-some out of that guaranteed. So that's Nick Foles. Other deals going on around the league, and we'll get to our Falcon Report here, brought to you by Domino's in just a second. But a lot of this leaking out today, and there'll be more tomorrow. Now, if you didn't hear this, Landon Collins, who got let go by the Giants, ends up as a Redskin, Mike. He gets a monster deal as well, as they pay 6 years, $84 million, 45 in guarantees for one of the considered to be one of the top safeties in the league.
Yeah, the Giants just didn't want to give him that deal. He has been a Pro Bowler, and he's certainly considered one of the better safeties, but he had struggled at times in coverage, and that's why the Giants weren't prepared to cut him that check. But the Redskins are always willing to overpay under Daniel Snyder and set the market for a position during free agency. Obviously, the Patriots are never going to spend that kind of money, so Trey Flowers winds up signing with Detroit. One of their linemen, Trent Brown, signs with the Raiders. The Raiders obviously spending a lot of money. They had cap space to do that. Frank Gore moves on for a small contract with Buffalo from Miami. Also, Quan Alexander out of the NFC South, a guy that was a big-time playmaker for the Bucs. Remember, he had a pick on Matt a couple years back when Matt was struggling in 15. But Quan signs a four-year, $54 million deal, $27 million guaranteed to play for the Niners.
I want you to think about this, though, for a second with the Patriots. They just won a Super Bowl. And they're not clamoring to keep guys. They just lost a tackle.
Right.
All right.
And a quality pass rusher.
Correct. A guy that gets pressure. They're not clamoring to keep him. Now, I got to tell you, in our city, we might be going, no, don't let him go. Oh, my God, we just won the Super Bowl. Patriots are like, peace. We'll see you.
But that's what – remember you and I were talking about this earlier in the show. When Thomas Dimitroff came down here, and again, not debating the legacy. We've been to a Super Bowl, been to two NFC championships. But one thing was for sure. We wanted to replicate that business model of the Patriots. You know what? Everybody wants to be the Patriots. We've even got Scott Pioli, who was there when the Patriots were doing all those great things first time around. We just, and other teams around the league, don't make those same kind of moves. No one's got the balls to pull the trigger the way the Patriots do, and they'll just go like Doritos. We'll make more. We'll find some other guys. We'll bring in a dude. Remember like how they brought in some pieces? from this last go around. They have some used pieces, some young guys from the draft. It was mix and match.
Yeah,
yes.
But the offensive line was money for them to get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because they draft it.
And all of a sudden now you see them being able to move on from an offensive lineman. It's just a point that I'm making simply to say that those are the decisions that ultimately get you back to the playoffs and get you another run at the Super Bowl.
Get a guy like a Kyle Van Noy that they use with Dante Hightower, has an amazing Super Bowl. You just talked about Trey Flowers, but they're not going to
He was their best defender.
Yeah, but they're not going to overspend. That's it. Anyway, and they still don't know what Gronk's going to do, right? I think they're leaning, Rosenhaus is saying Gronk's leaning to coming back now. You know what? Belichick might tell him not to come back.
Titans signed Kenny Vaccaro. Mike, you remember him as he was a Saint?
Yeah, he had the cheap shot on Matt Ryan years ago down at the Superdome, and he winds up in Tennessee.
4-year deal worth $26 million, 11.5 in guarantee. So, again, as we're talking about free agency, which starts on Wednesday, and I know what you're thinking. Dukes and Bell, what have the Falcons done? Nothing!
We have
nothing.
No money!
Nothing! Now, that's not a knock. But Mike's been saying it. I've been trying to convince him and other people, hey, move this money around. Ask this guy to move some money. Let's create some more cap space. Right. Mike continues to say, like a mom or a father would say,
we can't afford it. You think that you got a money tree in the backyard?
So that's where we are.
No, but here's the deal. We will have cap space. Now, here's the question, though. In all seriousness, when does the Julio Jones bump get adjusted? Because we knew we were never going to be big spenders. Thomas Dimitroff told everybody at the combine, told us at the end of the season, we're going to be lower tier free agency, maybe to go beef up the O-line, maybe another Fusco type guy. But right now, we barely have enough money to cover our draft class. We got, what, $6 million and change right now.
Yeah, that'll change. There'll be some pre-June 1 cuts that will actually happen. The draft class will be fun. The money to really go get some toys, we're not going to be in that mix, at least under the current salary cap construction that we have right now. Right. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. All right, with that, let's transition into the Falcons because a couple of things going on. That's just stuff that's happening around the league. We'll be reporting more and more tomorrow during the show, and then on Wednesday, all of this stuff becomes official, and there'll be bigger deals potentially happening on Wednesday. As far as the Falcons are concerned, we had a chance to talk to Daniel Jeremiah today from NFL Network, and we were asking him about offensive linemen, Mike. And are the Falcons going to draft an offensive lineman, especially here in the first round at pick 14? And, you know, a guy's name that keeps coming up, and there's a couple of them, and there's a couple of guys that make sense, is Jonah Williams from Alabama, who was a guy that's projected to be a guard. He was a tackle at Alabama, and he makes perfect sense. If you are committed, and this is what you've been saying, and you know, we don't necessarily disagree. I've said this. If we go O-line, D-tackle, or edge rusher, I'm going to be happy. Right. Anything else, I might have a frown on my face. But if you are committed to going offensive line, right, for a line in our Falcons that gave up 42 sacks and 108 quarterback hits, and I brought this up. Guys, go back to when Matt Ryan's line fell apart after the 13 season. With 14 and 15, we were a joke. He got hit more this year than he did in those two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fix this. So Jonah Williams is a guy, Mike, that projects to be a guard and makes total sense. And it reminds me of, you know, when you think back to the Cowboys. You remember those couple of years the Cowboys committed to offensive line and everybody's like, yeah, whatever. It worked.
Yeah, it's one of the few things that Jerry Jones has gotten right, you know, as he runs the show over there. They've spent a number of years on offensive line, and for a number of years they've had the best offensive line. Here's the problem with the Falcons. They just never have, whether it's the will to commit or you want to just say, Carl, it's the extenuating circumstances, how the draft plays out. And then they find themselves, well, I can't pass up a Calvin Ridley. Well, then I can't pass up an Isaiah Oliver. And then you get away from what we thought we needed, which was some offensive line. At some point, you've got to go find that guy. You know, I mean, they've struggled with it. You know, we said about Jake or Taylor Lewan, you really couldn't screw that up. And Jacob eventually did become a Pro Bowler. But certainly, at some point, please, if it's not the first round and the second round, go get me somebody who can help Alex Mack, who's not getting any younger.
Nope.
And can also give Matt some time. And let's develop the run game because our window is closing, sports fans. Newsflash.
So if we are a need-based drafting team, are we? Or are we best player on the board drafting
team? I think last year we were the latter, weren't we?
I thought so. You know, this is why I get back to this, and I say, what's your philosophy? If your philosophy is need-based, then you're going to do what Mike and I are talking about. If it is best player on the board-based, which some teams may frequent, and we've seen this. I'll give you an example of this. I just saw this special, I think it was Outside the Lines on Matt Millen. Did you get a chance to see this? where Matt Millen had to overcome, you know, basically getting a new heart. And it's a very moving story. I wasn't even aware of all the stuff that he was going through. But they talked to him about when he was with Detroit. Remember all those years in Detroit? Receiver,
bad,
receiver,
bad
receiver.
Draft, bad draft.
Right?
Right.
And you start going, are you drafting based on your team's needs? Or you just think this is a guy that's going to help you? You know, and Matt Millen's in this special talking with you know, the folks on the outside the lines saying, I kept thinking we were going to get our quarterback better by drafting all these receivers, and it never panned out that way. That's backwards thinking. You can't do that. Your team needs specific things. You got to go address them.
Well, that kind of goes back to the philosophy of how we made our defense better. We went from the back to front. We went with defensive backs back in 2011, 2013, I should say. And some would say that's not the way you do it. You got to go get your down linemen. You got to get your that's why pass rushers and good offensive linemen are always so hard to find. And that's why you're seeing them commanding ridiculous money in free agency. And by the way, we're going to pay and we're going to overpay for Grady because everyone is overpaying. Every time the new market gets set, you're overpaying. We knew this was coming. I just wonder, as you said earlier, when are we going to get to this Julio restructuring? Because he's going to look at Antonio Brown's deal and says, I'd like something comparable. But as you pointed out Friday, you can structure the money, give him more up front, yeah, and actually lessen the salary cap. I just thought we might have that in place so we have some money to spend once, you know, this is the legal tampering period. But as you said, Wednesday begins in earnest.
Antonio Brown reset the market over the weekend, and it was shocking on many levels. One, you had a guy who basically dictated, you know, remember, the Bills were interested, right? Which means the Bills were probably interested in giving him new money as well. He didn't want to go there. So you had a situation where a star in the NFL, which has happened before, and I pointed this out, guys, if you're a superstar in this league, you can dictate things like this. Not an average guy, not just above average guy. But mm-hmm. If you're a star like Antonio Brown, who caught 15 touchdowns last year, Mike, and if you go back over the last six seasons, no wide receiver comes close to how many touchdowns Brown has caught. So he catches touchdowns. He is a playmaker. And he dictated where he was going to go. But the thing was, the Raiders to tear up a deal that still had $38 million on it and go, that wasn't guaranteed. It was you had to show up and play and get your check. We're going to tear that up and give you $30 million guaranteed. That blew me away because that is not the precedent in the National Football League.
Well, he obviously wanted something similar from Buffalo. Buffalo said thanks, but no thanks over the weekend. That deal stalled out. And then the Raiders have got the cap space to go do the things they're doing right now, including adding Trent Brown to play offensive line for them. But, yeah, man, the Steelers is a great article. I think Bill Berg, whoever does the dollars and cents, Bill Barnwell wrote it. Thanks, Quid. And he basically breaks down that the Steelers, from Mike Tomlin's handling – of Antonio Brown. Remember how we kind of gave him a different set of rules? And then Bill, and then obviously Ben Roethlisberger didn't really help by the stuff that he did and threw the stuff out in public about his wide receiver. So it became a soap opera. But it's a bad precedent to act like the biggest jackleg on two legs, have your team have a $21 million dead cap hit. They get nothing, Carl. Imagine that in your cap. $21 million out the window. And, oh, by the way, you've got a huge raise to get traded to the team you wanted. Tails wagging the dog. Look, we always support the players in here. I just don't know if that's the right precedent for Antonio Brown to be setting.
So to your question, his average is 19.8 a year. Again, it's about the guaranteed money. Julio will get 30-plus million guaranteed. It will be more than what Antonio Brown got. The average salary may be lower, but he's going to get more guaranteed money at the end of the day. And I think this contract that they gave him is very similar to what we'll see Julio get, because Brown will be 34 at the end of this deal. Julio will be in a similar situation. So you're looking to get two to three more good years of Julio Jones. And that's what the Raiders are hoping to get with Antonio Brown. Here's the thing. They just are hoping that his best years are behind him. These last 6 years where he's put on a show in Pittsburgh, you're hoping that he can duplicate a few more years of that, and that's the big question.
But Carr's not as good as Roethlisberger, even at Roethlisberger's later stage of the game, where and they're gonna give him a bump too, by the way, the Steelers with Big Ben. The thing getting back to Julio is, okay, so we all know what Matt's contract is. Now Julio's got his. What's the point of having all this money, Carl, almost 25% by the time Julio's deal gets done, 25% of your cap for two guys, if you don't have an offensive line that can do the job to protect the quarterback?
It's a problem, and this is the problem, as I said earlier. The Falcons should have called the Raiders front office and went off over the weekend because this has created an issue. Julio's deal was going to get done. His average, Mike, per year was about 14 when he signed that deal in 2015. And it's going to be a lot more now. And I'll tell you this. I said it on the Duke Stump today. Go to the website at 929thegame.com and check it out. When you start talking about what this means for the football team, it creates an issue. Big picture. And that's what you're talking about.
Hey, man, the Falcon Report with some NFL free agency, all brought to you by our buddies at Domino's, a medium three-topping pan pizza, that delicious pan pizza, like butter, Carl, $7.99 when you carry out at Domino's.com.
Frank DeBoer, we have questions. It's all on the way in our strong arm story of the day. Coming up, we got, in case you missed it, as Mike Conti will make his way back into the studio here in about 20 minutes, Mike and I have been talking all afternoon, all day yesterday, in regards to Atlanta United. Some stuff can't be repeated, but there is a level of frustration that has set in with what we've seen as of late. And listen, it's warranted. There are some things that we need to get fixed. Jason Longshore joins us in about an hour from now to kind of help us out with some of the things that we're struggling with. But for those of you who may be in the know or not in the know, let's get to our strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
Mike, I think you have to rewind and go back to, you know, the first couple of seasons of Atlanta United. Last year we win it all. We win the MLS Cup. It was special. Let that go, because that will never be done again in the way and the fashion it was done. We were electric. And I'm not saying that the style of play can't be emulated. What I am saying is every special season like that is its own. But we came into the league attacking, fun, exciting, and now there's this expectation and standard that has been built. And, Mike, we're not living up to it right now.
No, and there's a lot of questions, and you'll hear Jason's take coming up in about an hour's time. But let's start with what's not here. Okay, Miggy's not here, and his ability of, the speed, breakneck speed, you know, the ability to, you know, to penetrate whatever kind of ridiculous defense they're throwing at us, where they're parking the bus, you know, the ability to kind of play the ball over the top, all the things we were able to go. Remember, we joked around about this on Friday. It would be Brad Guzan would pass it to Remedy, Remedy to Nagme, Nagme to Miggy, Miggy over to Joseph, and we got a shot on goal. We're not getting the shots on goal. Now, I know we've gone round and round about the 3-4-3, and is Frank DeBoer being stubborn? Matter of fact, you've even got Ajax fans, Frank's old team in Holland, now getting involved with Atlanta United fans, Carl, explaining you've got to be patient with Frank. And then a guy just hit another email from an Ajax fan saying, oh, the hell with patient. It's a boring style of football. We were sick of it after the fifth year. And he won four championships in a row in Holland. So beauty's in the eye of the beholder. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you're a fan expecting, to your point, Carl, to see the kind of action, we were like the Harlem Globetrotters of soccer.
Yeah.
You know, they're like Showtime with the Lakers, you know. It just hasn't been happening this season, and we're all at a loss for what's going to take to get things cooking.
I know there are a lot of people who are frustrated with Frank DeBoer. I said this earlier. I'll say it again. I want to be clear. I'm not looking to fire Frank DeBoer. But how flexible is our manager with the talent we have and his willingness to adjust accordingly? That is a question that still needs to be answered. Now, Wednesday, we'll take on Monterrey. It's CONCACAF Champions League, and that's another conversation. Right now, we're talking about what happened in MLS play against Cincinnati yesterday, which was a debacle. They were sloppy and flat, Mike. There's no way there should have been a tie. And when you see the things that are not going right, the things that we're not doing, okay, and I brought this up last week about Tata, and say it's fair or unfair, we went from a managerial style, okay, that we're not attacking in the same fashion. So the results are not similar to what we saw.
Now, as we said, Miggy's not here. We get that. He's gone. But that was all. Guys, I know we're seeing a lot of new fans are going, why do we trade our best player? It was always part of the business model. Darren Ears told us back in 17.
And we'll continue to be.
Yes, we're going to develop talent. We're going to sell it. And we're going to move on and bring the next guy up. Now, Pity Martinez is the South American Player of the Year. He's got a different skill set than Miggy. And they've got to find a way to get him the ball in space. That's on Frank DeBoer and the coaching staff. You know, I give Brad Guzan, our buddy, the goalkeeper, a lot of credit. Brad says, look, stop with the tactical stuff and all this. We've got to play better. He goes, it still comes down to 11-on-11, and the team is just, to your point, looked lifeless at times this year.
It is Dukes and Bell. It's our strong-arm story of the day. I want you to hear from our manager, Frank DeBoer, talking about why didn't he rotate the team. Part of this has been, all right, stretch of games, a lot of travel. We talk about our depth, but yet we've not seen a lot of that rotation. Here's Frank DeBoer.
For me, you know, the most important thing was a win and get the boost to the next game. And sometimes you have to risk those things. And again, you know, a home game, everybody wants to see Gonzalo. You know, that's normal.
Now, again, guys, Frank gets it. We wanted, you know, he knew 70,000 people. You want to see excitement and action.
You wanted to win.
And it's just, it's, yeah. And unfortunately, we gave up a sloppy goal. You know, defense has been pretty good. Unfortunately, there was a breakdown, and we talked about, you hear with Jason, and he'll explain it for you a little bit later in the show. It's just, this is an expansion team. Fans, or let's just talk about what the fans expect, Carl. We can talk about what happened. Fans expect you to go in there and grease this expansion team, you know, win 5-1 or 4-1. So what the Sounders did to them. And unfortunately, we scored that goal early in the first 5 minutes. Gressel does what he does, gets it to Joseph, and nothing comes of it. We don't build on it. We said, hey, here we go. Cincinnati basically put the bus in front of the net, and then we just had no – there was just no action-reaction. Okay, how do we get shots on goal? That's what fans are missing, Carl. We're the most prolific scoring team in the first 2 years in MLS history, and we've scored one goal in two MLS games so far.
Where's the scoring? Where's the attacking? Where's the shots on goal? These are fundamental issues that we're missing right now with our team. Now, to that point, Joseph Martinez scores in the fifth minute. After that, it was crickets. And literally, when I say that, the vibe and excitement down at Mercedes-Benz is not that. It was different yesterday. And if you were there, you know this, that there was a different feel. So for all of that, all right, and everything that Mike and I are talking about, it's still very early in the season. But I know there are a lot of people who are ready to run Frank out of town, and I'm not one of them yet. It's a little bit unfair after four or five matches where you go, this isn't working. I'm certainly concerned, Mike, and I said this last week, and people said, oh, you're overreacting. I'm concerned. I also think players are concerned because this is now starting to get in their head, and I think Jason Longshore alluded to that a little bit where you go, all right, well, are we doing the right things? When things are clicking, you never doubt.
Well, look, you know, the big-time scoring guy, you know, whether it's Joseph Martinez, whoever your guy is in your team in any league in the world, there's going to be a bit of a like, hey, guys, I'm over here, you know. I'm over here. I'm the MVP of the league. You might want to try to get me the ball. We'll make something happen. So, look, I think there's going to be you see a level of frustration. You saw it with the players. I'm glad the players are upset. Remember, they had the big come-to-Jesus meeting after the loss to Toronto last year when we missed out on the Supporters Shield for the best regular season record, and then they energized, went all the way to beat NYCFC all the way to the championship. It's a little early for that, okay? You can't shut the door and have the team meetings for just the first week of the season.
Right.
But this is up to the coaching staff. For instance, okay, Miggy's gone, but Tito Vejalba is a quick athletic guy. He's not on the field yesterday. So there's a lot of questions, and I know that because we've got a new coach, new personnel, and a compressed schedule with all these matches, we told you this last week, it's arguably the perfect storm of an awful way to start a season. Now, if Frank can ride this out, and I imagine that Darren Eales, the president's got all the confidence in the world in him, they'll get through this. I got to be honest. I said this last week. I'll say it again. It may get worse before it gets better, okay? We may get smoked on Wednesday. I'm not sure what we're going to do. We got a game against Philadelphia. They're a horrible team next Sunday. And then finally, Carl, we get 2 weeks, and maybe then we can catch our breath and Frank and get these guys all on the same page.
Here's our goalie, Brad Guzan, talking about what do you do now? Well, here's what you do.
Defending, attacking, the whole thing. We need to regroup, go back to the drawing board, and figure this out.
Go back to the drawing board and figure it out.
Now, one guy you and I were talking about earlier with the fans when he got signed, a lot of people said, oh, Breck Shea, oh, I don't know about that. You can understand why, Carl, he is so exasperating, has been for people who follow the U.S. men's national team. The ball's going the wrong way with Breck Shea too much yesterday. Let's get things going.
He's been uneven. There's no doubt. A little bit of up and down. I would tell you that. I don't know if they expect him to play as much as he is based on some of the things that are going on with our club. But I'm not here to make excuses. And I'm not going to for as talented as a team that we have and all the pieces that are still here. No one cares. This is the hard part, Mike. We raised the banner yesterday. It was great. And that's what our city should be about. Championships. Falcons, right? Banners. Braves, let's get some more. Hawks. But nobody cares about that. You're going to get everyone's best game. And from here on out, everyone in MLS is envious of what we're doing. We got guys, Mike and I got friends across the country in California tweeting at us going, I'm watching this game. I want to see what you guys are all about. So this is what we're going to see week in and week out, game in and game out. But Mike, there is enough talent here to put it together and make it happen. I just hope Frank DeBoer can do that.
Well, that's just it, guys. We still have Barco, okay? We still got Pity Martinez, Joseph, Tito. You know, we've got a lot of good people. We got Darlington Nappy didn't even play yesterday. You know what I mean? So we've got to figure this out. The talent is there. We didn't go from being one of the most exciting teams in the league to what we are now, where the fans literally in my section, yes, and there was a smattering of boos. People were getting all up in their face. Oh, I can't believe you'd boo. I didn't boo, but you. I wanted to tell you how to watch the game. If you're not happy with the product, and let's be honest, Carl, it was lifeless. It was a total antithesis of what Mercedes-Benz has been and Bobby Dodd was the first 2 years.
404-741-0929. You can text us on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
And we're just frustrated because we love this team, and as Frank said, yes, we've been spoiled by how good it is. But, I mean, to see what we've had the first two regular season games,
yeah,
this is dreck.
It is, but I also think, you know, it gets back to if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, yeah, this goes back to why would we change what we had?
And it wasn't broke. Now, I get it. You want to put your stamp on things? But what we were doing wasn't broke. The style of play wasn't broke. The attacking, fun, excitement wasn't broke. Yesterday was boring, folks. For me, I'm sorry. That's where I was, and I can't watch that. It's got to get better. Hey, coming up, we've got another installment of In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up, top three at six, and then hear Jason Longshore talk about Atlanta United. Also, we'll get back into some of the storylines in the NFL that are playing out.
Whoa, big money getting spent on guys who probably don't deserve that money. But every year, Carl, the market gets set.
It does. And I know a lot of people are like, man, Nick Foles, he got paid too much. Not if you need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Dukesism, it's a quarterback league. Half the teams in this league are looking for them. The other half have them. So I don't think you can ever overpay if it works out for Nick Foles and the Jaguars. With that, Mike Conte's here in case you missed it. Brought to you by...
Rooms to Go or Friends. I hope you check out that headliner, by the way, because
me too.
March Madness is coming. And you're going to be spending a lot of time in front of the TV. You got to get down there and check out the headliner. It's going to make watching TV on the sofa a lot better. Now, Bill Belichick on vacation. As all this free agency stuff is starting, by the way, it seems yeah. a little weird an NFL head coach would not be in the building.
Yeah, he's on vacation.
But, I mean, that does happen. He's down in Barbados with his girlfriend, Linda Holiday, and the paparazzi are at the resort. And there are pictures of them. They're not really racy or scandalous. Okay. They aren't doing anything weird. It's not a nude beach. Actually, thank God for that. Because I'll just show you the photos. Bill Belichick, now it's not like he's wearing a Speedo. I mean, he's wearing swim trunks, but no shirt. And here's another one of him, I believe, putting suntan lotion on the back of his girlfriend. And boy, that one is not flattering at all, is it?
No, it is not.
He's kind of sitting half up.
Well, there's never a good look, Mike, when you're in a Chase Lounge and you got a belly on you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe you could probably nickname him Lumpy as a result of that photo there. Now, there is a certain, you know, I don't give a you know what quality to Bill Belichick that I admire.
Yeah. Right, right.
Because I face this problem all the time when I go to a lovely beach resort such as that. I mean, I don't want to, you know, be sitting there with my gigantic belly with my shirt off or anything like that. As it turns out, usually most people don't even care. They aren't paying attention to you. Yeah. But, I don't know if Belichick's going to try to get these photos squashed or anything like that, but they're out there. If you're wondering, they're staying at something called the Sandy Lane Resort in Barbados.
Mm.
$3,000 a night for a room there.
Right on.
It's a nice spot.
Well, you're paying for the, exclusivity, not having a bunch of jabronis coming up to you. Hey, Coach Belichick!
This exclusivity.
Seemed to work there.
Coach, can I rub some lotion on your shoulders, Coach?
I don't care, Conte, if you're paying $100 a night or $3,000 a night. Obviously, you've got people that want to take pictures.
Right. Yeah, amazing.
Well, then you could, now, again, that could have been taken like from 1,000 feet or a quarter mile.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
telephoto.
They got one of those telephoto lenses. Amazingly, I don't know if you – let me grab this photo again. I don't know if you noticed this. In the cabana next to them, two people reading books, and the man is Butch Hobson. Very weird.
Craziest thing, Butch Hobson. You're not going to believe this, Mike. You know what he's doing these days? He's working on it's a luxury yacht transport, Kyle. They take boats from Falmouth down to the Caribbean for folks who don't want to drive the boat. They meet him in Barbados.
Right.
So Butch, he's on a 40-foot tiara, getting rocked off his socks, drinking Carling Black Label in Barbados, so Mike. That's crazy.
The boat's called the Cutty Sark, right?
The boat was called the Cutty Sark.
There you go. There you go. I'm unbelievable. When I was down in Key Largo, I guess 2 weeks ago now, I did a little long weekend with my wife. I'll tell you what.
How was it, by the way?
It was great.
Okay.
The guys who work down there, like, this is my – I love doing what I do here, and I'm never going to quit unless they make me.
Right.
The guys down there that run the boat trips, the excursions, man, do I want that life.
Great job, right?
Okay, so like this resort that I was at, they actually converted these pontoon boats into floating bars.
Yeah.
It's basically a platform with a little tiki hut on it and an outboard motor. And you go out into the, it's not the intercoastal, the Bay of Florida,
yeah, they get the sandbars and all that. It's
not
great
the ocean side, the Everglades side.
Yep.
And they take you out and they pour you drinks and they just do it all day.
Unbelievable.
And then in their time off, what do? They get in their own personal boats and they go out and they go fishing.
Right.
And they get incredible suntans and great tips, and they live in the Keys. That is a pretty good deal.
It is.
If you cannot be happy doing that, you're not going to be happy doing much.
I always say, if we ever get to, heaven forbid, we lose this job, I'll be the bald guy with a ponytail bartending. Seriously. Doing exactly that down in the Keys.
Well, I'll be like Andy Dufresne down in San Juan Teneo, you know, trying to get some kind of, you know,
boat sanded out,
sanded down and run trips. That is the life. So tip of the hat to those guys. You know, I would even gladly put a Salt Life bumper sticker on my car if I had to, just to fit
I
in
guess
with them.
Sunburns are so, I mean, you know, I was going to be careful putting on the lotion, but
you
those
do.
Shirts,
yeah.
Everybody in the car, when you see people wearing, the serious people wear the long sleeve shirts.
Right, because they're
they
trying
the neckerchief
to,
thing, trying to avoid skin cancer, but yeah.
Exactly right, exactly.
Be smart out there, kids. Always apply 50.
No, I mean, that is a real thing. I can tell you from a family perspective,
right,
if
on.
You are not applying sunscreen, you're going to have a problem.
It's the problem. That's
different from tanning oil, kids. Sunscreen, SPF something. That's what you want. All right. Now, I have said numerous times during this segment that there's a lot I like about what ESPN does, but I do feel one of their flagship programs is getting a little bit stale. And I know not everyone agrees with me, but quite frankly, I think it's time for...
Which one?
College Game Day.
Okay.
To maybe just take a step towards the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's look at... The cast we've assembled there, the features that we repeat every week for 20 years, the bump music we play going in and out of breaks, the same for 20 years.
And now Tom Rinaldi.
The sappy Tom Rinaldi feature that we've had for a little less than 20
years. Yeah.
The big and rich stuff, like it just, it's very consistent. They don't veer much from the game plan. Fox Sports has decided that this fall they are going to launch their own challenge to College Game Day, and it's not going to be on cable. It's going to be on Big Fox, Homer Simpson Fox, and they have hired Urban Meyer to be one of the panelists. Now, keep in mind, Urban Meyer is still employed by The Ohio State University.
Right.
He is teaching a life skills class.
Oh, he's teaching it all right.
But Urban Meyer is going to be on the panel. So is Reggie Bush. I dealt with Reggie Bush a little bit when I was covering the Saints. He was, at that time, this was 12, 13 years ago, not quite, you know, all polished on camera. Maybe that has changed. Urban Meyer, a lot of people forget the year where he was having the chest pains.
ESPN?
He was on ESPN doing Big Ten games.
Right.
He was actually really good in the booth. I think this might be okay.
Okay.
Maybe.
Now, Fox, historically, Fox in college football, we always joke around like a fish in a bicycle. Sometimes a little tough in those studio shows with, like, Dave Wannstedt and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those guys don't exactly translate. But
Wannstedt did not make the cut for this version of College Game Day. Brady Quinn, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, and Urban Meyer.
Hmm.
Bo, I'm inviting you to talk. What were you just telling me about Reggie Bush?
So I think it was a preseason game that we were doing this year, but Reggie Bush was doing color analysis for – I don't know what radio station it was. It was national, but he was doing it to the booth next to us.
Okay. Well, there you go.
And how did that make you feel?
Oh, I didn't really care.
He's silly.
Just see what Bo thought.
So anyhow.
But I'm always, yes, to your point, Mike, I'm always looking for something different. We'll see. And Urban Meyer, I remember, he was pretty good.
He was good. I would like to see, and I'm glad that someone is trying, I'd like to see someone just making ESPN take a look. Think about what they're doing.
Yeah, refresh
maybe
a little bit.
Maybe trying to push them towards a very slight refresh.
I don't disagree
with that. I want to be very clear. Our buddy Pollock, love him.
Right.
I think he's great. I think you build the show around him. I think he's terrific.
They are at a crossroads. We're friends with Lee Corso's son, Dan, here in Atlanta, Sports Council and stuff. But it's just tough for Lee. It's just, you know,
Lee
he's getting up there, and
icon.
It's just tough to watch, though.
He is an icon. He can still be part of the show.
But isn't
still
that become,
do that headgear thing at the end.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. He can still be there.
I'm with you. You know, as much as they've moved on from some of their legendary talent, right, you would think that this would be a no-brainer. But they haven't yet moved on it. And you've talked about this for the last couple of seasons. It'll be interesting. If Fox comes along and maybe pushes them, we'll see what happens.
Because ESPN will react to that.
Yeah,
I also think a lot of it depends on what game Fox has on at noon.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, if you have, they have the Big Ten. So if you have, like, right. Rutgers against Maryland at noon, I don't see too many people tuning in to see what Urban Meyer has to say about that game.
I know people do love it and stuff. I just, you know, because we're talking sports all week, and I know we're blessed to have this job. I know, you and I know, most fans listening who listen to sports talk know the
right.
storylines.
Yeah,
so
right,
other than
right.
injuries, Carl, well, or weather but, conditions, there's really but, not much you're going to get.
But I actually think that's been the problem with some of these pregame shows, not just College Game Day, is they've gone too far away from breaking down the game, where now it is Tom Rinaldi, and it is like Maria Taylor trying to find the craziest person in the crowd, and it is, you know, Corso and Desmond Howard having some kind of debate about something that really has nothing to do with the game.
Yeah.
Like, I actually do want a tad bit of analysis. But that's just me. Maybe yeah. I don't fit in with the target demographic.
Well, you know, Mike, and you know, you've been doing this a long time. Part of that is, and it always has been, ESPN always knew that it was going to get, it's in case you missed it with Mike Conti, top 3 at 6 on the way here on Dukes and Bell. They knew they were going to get the top, the hardcore college fans.
Right.
How did they draw in the other folks? So you've got all this extra stuff in the show to try to do that. But you're right. I mean, that's why they do all that stuff. But to your point, maybe they're doing too much of it.
By the way, did you see this, well, not really a meltdown, but a rant that the head coach at Monmouth had? This was 2 days ago. It wasn't yesterday. Monmouth is playing in their conference championship game tonight on ESPN for a chance to get into the NCAA tournament. And I guess King Rice is the coach's name. He wanted to bring his 7-year-old son into the post-game press conference.
Ooh.
And the conference's deputy commissioner for communications said, you can't bring a kid in here. He went nuts. He said, this guy's been around my team the whole time. He's like a mascot. He's their little brother. Do you know how many nights he cried when we lost this year? Conference commissioner? Kind of went from there. The conference says it was a security concern to bring a kid into the press.
Kid strapping?
Yeah, really. Come on. What's going on? Everybody brings their kids to these press conferences.
And by the way, Mike, we talked about off the air. We didn't mention on the air. The Steve Kerr video is priceless. If you can lip read, you see Steve Kerr basically saying, I'm so blank and tired of Draymond.
Yeah, the Warriors had a bad night last night. Klay Thompson lashing out at the fans.
Well, they lose to Phoenix. Phoenix Terror. They're terrible.
They're worst team in the league, but still. Like, keep your poise.
What a soap opera.
It is.
You got the world by the short hairs. What are you doing?
I just want to see him turn it on when the playoffs start, because that's what everybody says. Oh, right. They're bored.
Right. Yeah.
Mike Conti, in case you missed it, guys, coming up top 3 at 6. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.